American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. We are looking at what's going on in Davos, and it looks like Elon Musk is speaking right now. Let's take a listen.
The overall goal of my companies is to maximize the future of civilization, like basically maximize the probability that civilization has a great future, to expand consciousness beyond Earth. So if you take SpaceX, for example, that SpaceX is about advancing rocket technology to the point where we can extend life and consciousness beyond Earth, to the moon, to Mars, eventually to other star systems. And I think we should always view consciousness, life as we know it, as precarious and delicate, because to the best of our knowledge, we don't know of life anywhere else. You know, I'm often asked, are there aliens among us? And I'll say that I am one, but...
or you know, you're from the future.
They don't believe me.
Okay.
I think if anyone would know if there are aliens among us, it would be me. We have 9,000 satellites up there, and not once have we had to maneuver around an alien spaceship. So I'm like... I don't know. Bottom line is, I think we need to assume that life and consciousness is extremely rare, and it might only be us. And if that's the case, then we need to do everything possible to ensure that the light of consciousness is not extinguished, because we're effectively the way I view it is the image in my mind is of a tiny candle in a vast darkness. Tiny candle of consciousness that could easily go out. And that's why it's important to make life multiplanetary, such that if there is a natural disaster or a man-made disaster on Earth, that consciousness continues. That's the purpose of SpaceX. Tesla is obviously about sustainable technology, and also at this point we've sort of added to our mission sustainable abundance. So with robotics and AI, this is really the path to abundance for all. If you say, you know, people often talk about solving global poverty, or essentially how do we give everyone a very high standard of living? I think the only way to do this is AI and robotics, which doesn't mean that it is... without its issues. I mean, we need to be very careful with AI. We need to be very careful with robotics. We don't want to find ourselves in a James Cameron movie, Terminator. he's got great movies. Love his movies, but we don't want to be in Terminator, obviously. If you have ubiquitous AI that is essentially free or close to it, and ubiquitous robotics. Then you will have an explosion in the global economy, an expansion in the global economy that is truly beyond all precedent.
Elon, can that expansion be broad?
Yes.
Or is it narrow? And how can that be created? How can it broaden the global economy?
Yeah, I mean, a way to think of it is that if you have a large number of humanoid robots, the economic output is the average productivity per robot times the number of robots.
Right.
And actually, my prediction is in the benign scenario of the future that we will actually make so many robots in AI that they will actually saturate all human needs. Meaning, you won't be able to even think of something to ask the robot for at a certain point.
We are keeping our eye on the WEF. We're also keeping our eye on that congressional hearing that's happening right now with Jack Smith. Again, when it starts to get good, we'll jump back into that hearing as well. But buckle up. The third hour of the program is going to get very, very interesting as we dive into Davos as well. We've got three people on the ground there to give us the very latest, so don't go anywhere.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot happening all across the country. We're waiting for that congressional hearing to begin around 2:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to take place with a lot of top healthcare CEOs, so you could expect it to get a little heated, of course, because members of Congress, they're going to want to grill them. And we look forward to bringing you that when it begins, or if there's anything interesting that occurs there, we'll, of course, bring it to you. Also, CVS will be front and center as well. As many of you guys know, they are one of the biggest pharmacies in the country. And I'm sure they've got a lot to talk about when it comes to pharmaceuticals. But folks, President Trump has made it his priority to roll back Obamacare. As many of you guys know, he made that attempt in the first term to do just that. And now he's back trying to do it again. And the reality of it is our taxpayer money is going directly towards these health insurance companies. And unfortunately, it's not really working out for the American people. We were promised affordability, and it doesn't seem to be that way. These health insurance companies are getting significantly richer, and unfortunately, it's not getting any easier to gain access to affordable health coverage. And remember that term, you know, you got to keep your doctor. Well, that wasn't true, of course. But President Trump is speaking out about all of it, and he wants to give that money, instead of to all these health insurance companies, he wants to give that money straight to you. In clip 14, he details just that. Take a listen.
Do you support the Paramount deal, sir?
On healthcare, Mr. President, 22 million Americans are expected to see their healthcare insurance premiums start to rise by the beginning of next year.
You're talking about because Obamacare is so bad?
Yes. Well, sir, because the Obamacare subsidies are expiring.
Obamacare is so bad.
What is the Republican plan? Are you going to let that happen on your watch?
What I'm going to do is, if the Democrats go along with it, which they don't want to because they want to make the insurance companies very rich, okay? I want the money to be paid to the people to go out and buy their own health care instead of paying to the, you know, the insurance companies, their stock has gone up 1,700% in a short period of time. Did you know that? 1,700. You wish your corn went up. But the insurance companies' stock has gone up by 1,700%, 1,800%. They're taking in trillions of dollars. I don't want to pay the insurance companies anything. And I know a lot of them, but they're owned by the Democrats. And the Democrats have, Obamacare is a setup to make insurance companies rich. And I want to pay the people, and I want the people to go out and buy their own health care. And that's what we want to do. And that's what the Republicans want to do.
All right. This is a very complex issue. So trying to, you know, simplify this to help the average American and myself understand what's going on here. Joining me to discuss is Sally Pipe. She is the president and CEO of Thomas W. Smith Fellow in Healthcare Policy at the Pacific Research Institute. And, you know, she's been fighting this battle for quite some time now. So it's an honor to have Sally on the program today. Thank you for being here. You know, when we were listening to President Trump walk us through his plan specifically to take that money, our money, and instead of giving it directly to the health insurance companies, to give it to the American people so that it creates more of a free market. I think a lot of Americans think that that would probably be a better option here. What do you make of the president's plans thus far?
I think it's absolutely excellent. I've been talking for many years. We need to empower patients and doctors and not government systems. So this is a great idea. It's part of his great healthcare plan. And I think it's very exciting. And I think people are saying, well, if the government pays the subsidies to individuals, how will that work? Well, the way would to do that would be to set up health savings accounts, so that money would go from the government into an individual or family's health savings account, and it would get rid of so much of this fraud and abuse that Mr. Trump is talking about, that we all know about. We know that of the 24 million people who signed up for Obamacare plans in 2024, that 12 million of them never filed a single claim. And of that, 40% were fully subsidized. So there's a lot of fraud and abuse. About $40 billion was paid out in subsidies out of $138 billion, $40 billion to people who never used a plan. And it looks like the insurance companies have signed up people without them knowing that they were signed up. So they didn't know they had coverage, therefore they didn't use their coverage. So this is something we really need to get hold of, because it's very expensive, fraud and abuse. So we need to empower patients, as Mr. Trump has said. And he's also said we need to, if it comes through if the enhanced subsidies are extended for another 3 years as passed by the House, he is going to veto that. And I think that's an excellent idea. The subsidies are not ending. It's the extended subsidies that came into being when COVID was in place.
Okay, so that's a key element to all of this, is the extended subsidies. And I think that's important to drive home that point as well. But you were alluding to the fact that these health insurance companies, and I just want you to kind of break this down for us, because this is really shocking. These health insurance companies were possibly signing up Americans for health care plans that they were unaware of. How does that even happen?
Well, because insurance agents and brokers, they want to sign people up. They want to get more people signed up because they get larger commissions. But isn't it interesting that we know that probably about six million of those people didn't use their plans at all. Mm. 12 million didn't use any coverage. So the looks like the insurance companies were signing people up without them knowing about it, and therefore they never used their plan. So what we need to do is to get the agents to have to confirm with each patient on the phone to make sure that they're actually alive and know that they're going to have coverage. So, you know, this whole issue of re-enrollment without knowing is a bad thing, and it's very expensive. And, you know, people that have a problem, if they don't know they have insurance, may not go to the doctor or the hospital. So this is a huge fraudulent issue, and we need to take care of it. And I know, Mr. Trump, that's one of the reasons why he is pushing empowering patients, giving the money to the patients, not the insurance companies, so they can sign up people without them knowing they have coverage.
Yeah. And Sally, I think that's so crazy. And it's common sense. We need to cut back on the fraud, because like you were just alluding to as well, there's a massive amount of fraud out there right now. And, you know, Just the News just did a story on this as well, highlighting all of this. But, you know, we're waiting. It's a couple of hours away. But the United Healthcare CEO, Cigna CEO, and as well as the CVS Healthcare or Health Group, they're all going to be front and center right now and testifying today. What do you expect to come from that hearing?
Yeah, so there are two House hearings. One with Energy and Commerce is the first one. Mm-hmm. And the second one is Ways and Means. There will be five CEOs. Steve Helmsley from the CEO of United has said, well, I think we're going to pay back all the profits we make from the ACA plans in the form of rebates. Well, United Health has a big problem right now with Medicare Advantage and what we call uploading, getting doctors to sign up people with more severe conditions. So the United made a lot more money. So I think you know, we'll see what happens, but, you know, as I mentioned, the fraud, the abuse, the extended subsidies, and the other issue is pharmaceutical benefit managers. These are middlemen who work with insurance companies to get better prices from the pharmaceutical companies. They are keeping those rebates and not returning the rebates in terms of lower prices at the drugstore. So we need to reform PBMs. We need to get rid of fraud and abuse and this whole entitlement issue. So it'll be very interesting. CVS Caremark is one of the three largest PBMs in the country, along with Express Scripts and Optum, the United Healthcare. So it's going to be interesting, but affordability can come about if we get rid of the issues that I just talked about. And also under the Affordable Care Act, the essential health benefits, 10 mandates on insurance companies that they have to provide. I may want an insurance plan that covers alcohol rehabilitation. You might want one that covers IVF, but, you know, you should be able to get the plan that you want and one that covers the things that you want. And so with these 10 essential health benefits. It adds tremendously to the plans. So short-term limited duration plans for people between jobs, young people, so that they can get a plan that's affordable. Association health plans. These are things that Biden made very difficult or almost eliminated. So we need to bring those back. Trump had them in the first term, and those are ways to make insurance affordable and available to the kind with the kinds of plans that people want that will give them coverage when they actually need it.
Okay, Sally, I want to go to clip 15 here right now, because the press secretary earlier this week was kind of walking Americans through what the president's goals are in regards to kind of reforming our healthcare system right now. Let's take a listen.
President Trump unveiled a health care plan for America called the Great Health Care Plan, and a video message detailing his solutions to lower costs for all Americans and significantly improve our health care system. The Great Health Care Plan will accomplish this through four common sense pillars. Number one, permanently lowering prescription drug prices. Congress can get this done by codifying President Trump's historic Most Favored Nation initiatives into law to guarantee Americans the same low prices for prescription drugs that people in other countries around the world pay. Additionally, by increasing consumer choice by making more verified, safe pharmaceutical drugs available for over-the-counter purchases. Number two, the Great Healthcare Plan will stop sending big insurance companies billions in extra taxpayer-funded subsidy payments and instead send that money directly to eligible Americans to allow them to buy the health insurance of their choice. Additionally, by funding a cost-sharing reduction program for healthcare plans and ending kickbacks from pharmacy benefit managers to large brokerage middlemen. Number three, the Great Healthcare Plan will maximize price transparency by requiring any healthcare provider or insurer who accepts either Medicare or Medicaid to publicly and prominently post their pricing and fees to avoid surprise medical bills. This is an incredibly popular policy that has been bipartisan for many years, and President Trump is officially and firmly calling on Congress to get it done. And number four, holds big insurance companies accountable by requiring them to publish rate and coverage comparisons up front on their websites in plain English so consumers and everyday Americans can make the best purchasing decisions for them and their families. These are common sense actions that make up President Trump's Great Healthcare Plan, and they represent the most comprehensive and bold agenda to lower healthcare costs to have ever been considered by the federal government.
All right, Sally, I want you to react to that, because, I mean, it's a well-thought-out plan, and it sounds like he's simplifying the healthcare system that we have today, which is very complex. What do you make of the plan that she just laid out there?
Well, as we talked about, most of the things that she mentioned, we've already talked about. The one thing that we hadn't talked about was most favored nation status. Pricing models, where he talks about we can lower drug prices by tying our drug prices in the U.S. to those in countries within the OECD. Now, what that means is that it's bringing price controls into our pharmaceutical and biopharm sectors. These price controls will reduce innovation in this country. We know from Thomas Phillipson at University of Chicago that 55 research projects have already been eliminated because of IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, the price controls on the first 10 drugs under Medicare Part D that just came into effect. And we also know that he has projected that 139 new drugs will not come to market by 2039 because of these price controls. Most favored nation status is tying the prices, as I said, to drugs in these OECD countries. The problem is all of those OECD countries have price controls on their pharmaceuticals. We in America are the world's medicine chest. The R&D, all of these companies, whether it's Sanofi, Novartis, all of these companies from Europe do their R&D in this country because we don't have price controls. So if we bring those in from what President Trump is talking about, it's going to destroy the world's medicine chest in America. We know that between 2012 and 2021, of all the new drugs that were launched, 85% were available to people here in America, whereas in France, only 52%, 59% in the UK, 44% in Canada, where I'm from, where it's very difficult to get the latest drugs. So we want to keep the market for research and development open and not bring in price controls that's going to destroy, will throw out the goose with and be very, very difficult for us, because we are cutting edge with cancer drugs, drugs for dementia, Alzheimer's. We want to be the world's medicine chest, and price controls is the last thing we want. Price controls have never worked in any industry, and they won't work here. So I hope he's going to see the light on that and stop trying to get the drug companies to tie in, which they have been. 16 out of 17 drug companies have said they will expand manufacturing facilities for 3 years, and in return, they will not be subject to tariffs. But this is, we've got to keep this market open. It's one of the brightest areas in this country.
Yeah, capitalism has advanced our medicine significantly here in the United States. And, you know, Americans are understanding of that, but also don't like some greed that could possibly be involved in all of this. So I think the simplified version and it's kind of the breakdown of what's going on behind the scenes is very, very important for Americans. And so we look forward to seeing that as it develops. Sally, I wanted to ask you before you go, though, in regards, because this is very concerning for our audience. I know a lot of people who live in these 10 states that I'll list, I know that it's very hard to find a competitive commercial health industry, health insurance industry, like Alabama, Kentucky, Hawaii, Michigan, Louisiana, Illinois, Alaska, Vermont, Delaware, and West Virginia. Those are just some of the least competitive markets right now. What do those residents currently face? And how has the antitrust measures not done enough to kind of help make that more of a competitive field for those individuals living in those states?
Well, we support competition in all states. The problem is that, you know, in a lot of these states like West Virginia, Alabama, you know, it's harder to find, you know, there are not high-end hospitals that are available. They're rural hospitals. So we need to open up the market, get rid of a certificate of need law so new hospitals can develop and be built and not be stopped by a state government. So we need to, you know, really, as I say, open up the market, make it accessible for everyone. And another thing is telehealth. For people in these states, telemedicine is a great way to reach doctors in the finest doctors and specialists in great hospitals. So I'm hoping that telemedicine is going to pass and be extended. So it's because it will be very good for patients in the short term and the long term, because they will get access to the best and the brightest in every field of medicine.
Yeah. Well, Sally, I love telehealth services. I'm a big fan. I use it myself quite often. So I'm all on board for that.
Yeah.
It really is a great service. Yeah. It truly, and it's changed a lot. I mean, I remember back in the day, you had to actually, and when I was in college and we didn't have a car, you had to find a way to get to the doctor. I mean, now they've brought this forward and they've made it so easy. And so expanding it would be great for the rest of the folks in this country. And so I'm all on board with that. Sally, thank you for breaking this all down for us. It's a very complex issue, and trying to simplify it and get through the fraud is very important. So thank you.
Well, thank you, and have a good day.
Yes, thank you, Sally. We appreciate all your incredible work. Trying to understand a little bit more about the health insurance chaos that goes on throughout this country. Obviously, it's a very complex issue, very complex issue. And Sally's been fighting for Americans when it comes to Obamacare and others. She saw the disaster before it became an actual disaster and was trying to sound the alarms on that. So we look forward to keeping our eye on the hearings. Apparently, there's two of them now. I believe there was one, but there's two health insurance hearings going on today with the CEOs front and center, and they're going to probably get grilled, and it's going to get kind of nasty. I mean, one would assume members of Congress are going to get a little aggressive on that front. So we're going to keep our eye to that. We also got our eye right now on Jack Smith, who's testifying in front of the Judiciary Committee. Now, as many of you guys know, we've been playing little bits and pieces. Right now, they're in recess, but it's going to resume very, very soon. So once that happens, we will try to bring you back there. But we're also going to be bringing you to Davos. Little did you know, you're going to tune into an InfoWars show and you're going to be heading to Davos. I know many of you probably didn't want to go there, but you're going to go there. No, we've got some great resources on the ground right now doing incredible work. Larry Taunton, who was on with us earlier this week, as many of you guys know, phoned into the show to give us an update as to what was happening. Gave me a little lecture about what the in crowd does in Davos, what they say. And, you know, they got their little like nicknames. And so he broke that down for us. But today's the last day of what they're covering, what they're going through. So they're going to join me. It's going to be Larry Taunton as well as Jenica Pounds. Now, as many of you guys know, Jenica Pounds on X is actually Data Republican. And she's got a massive audience. Why? Well, because she exposes a lot of the corruption And so Jenica will be on with us as well as her interpreter because she's a member of the deaf community and she does incredible work. Her interpreter will also be on board with us today to help us understand where Jenica is in all of this. But I've got a lot of key questions about what's going on at the WEF. I was told a lot of AI talk, and we heard Elon Musk saying it, right? He's pushing, obviously, for the innovations regarding AI, but also was very cautious as to what AI can become. And I was actually very happy to hear him say that. In case you missed it, we played about a couple of minutes worth in the beginning of the hour. And you guys could check that out if you missed that over at Bandoff Video. But it was about 20 minutes ago, just to kind of get you queued up properly there. But he detailed specifically about how AI and making sure that the United States is at the top of the AI race, but also how they could be very concerned and how they have to do this safely. And so that was refreshing to him to hear him address that issue. It was also interesting to hear him say that SpaceX, their goal is in case ever the lights go out here in the world, if they could have life on Mars. When I was going around SpaceX, and I honestly just thought it was like a thing on social media. I didn't know that this was like really happening at SpaceX. First off, the SpaceX employees love working for SpaceX. I learned that when we were talking to folks. I also learned that they are actually planning to colonize Mars. I don't know why I thought that was a myth. I don't know why I thought that was just something that you were seeing on social media, but they said it. So it's real. It's real. And Elon Musk even saying if the lights go out here, he's got his plan worked out. So, you know, I'll bow out. Whatever God's plans are is God's plans. I'm going to stay here in the United States. All right, folks, I wanted to bring this story to your attention. I don't think we really gave it enough coverage yesterday, but Just the News put out a really, really concerning report and has to go a lot with, again, as we just discussed with Sally, you know, our federal government has been just allowing people to spend whatever they want to spend, take any money what they want to take. And the FBI has just been writing and cutting blank checks, six-figure checks, apparently, to whatever group aligns with them. And at the time under the Biden regime, that really included a group that was going out and using, apparently, according to Just the News, was using foreign analyst group programs to run facial recognition of those who had entered the Capitol on January 6th, or those who were wanted outside of the Capitol as well. As many of you guys know, Sedition Hunters was the nickname that they were given online. But according to Just the News, who broke this story, and I don't think it's getting enough attention, they coughed up, and by they, I mean the FBI, so it's your money. They paid up about $150,000 in payments to these informants. Again, this was an anonymous group. Maybe they never knew the names. Maybe they did. Who knows? But they were giving them just blank checks. Here's $150,000. You know, there are some incredible reporters out there, independent journalists, who could probably use $150,000 for the great work that they do. You know, like BX, Becca on X, who goes after pedophile groups and exposes them. She could probably get a check. She probably should get a check. Actually, I mean, there's nobody working aggressively hard to expose terrorist attacks that are being plotted all across the world than this woman is, to save children than this woman is. So maybe just give her a check. FBI, why not? All right, folks, buckle up. We're getting ready to kick off the third hour, second part of the show. This is the girl. She's a 2A advocate too, Becca. I like this video of her. She's a little badass. This girl doesn't fear anyone. We all need to get like Becca. All right, but we're getting ready to kick off the next portion of the hour. It's going to be a good one. I've been wanting Data Republican on for quite some time, so no one's more excited about this interview than I am right now. Look forward to having her and Larry on as well. We'll talk about that in a moment. Meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Why? Well, right now we're giving away a free T-shirt with every purchase. No minimum required over at thealexjonesstore.com. And some of your favorite items are on sale right now. Discounts vary, so you got to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and check out the savings.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula and you like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after The Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot happening all around the world. We've been keeping our eye on Davos because you never know what those globalist pigs are going to do and what they're going to say. But, you know, we're watching. You know, it was a good week for many who were in the area, but we've got quite the impressive panel. These three individuals have been on the ground in Davos and probably making everyone who's a globalist pig feel very uncomfortable. So let's just jump right into it. We have Larry Taunton on the show again this week. Larry, it's an honor to have you on. You're the host of Ideas Have Consequences. We're also joined by Jenica Pounds, a.k.a. Data Republican, who's uncovered so much fraud over the years. And it's an honor to have her on the program. And we're also joined by her interpreter, Data Republican's interpreter, is how you could find her on X. It's an honor to have all three of you here. I'm excited for this segment. You know, let's start off with Data Republican, because Jenica, I'm very excited that you're here. I just saw Elon Musk at the top of the hour. He was speaking over at the World Economic Forum, and Elon Musk said something that was very, very important. He was talking about the AI race. But specifically, he said, we've got to, you know, be cautious here because this could get really dangerous. What are you seeing on the ground in Davos in regards to the AI race? Is there anything that has you concerned?
Well, this year, everyone is obsessed with AI, right? I just see AI marketed everywhere. And I was just wondering, why all week have I been seeing this? And I finally think I have a little bit of an understanding. I think the WEFers are both excited, right, about the money that they can collect from AI because it's huge. But the second reason is I think they're very scared as well. My gut feeling from talking to many people is that it could be dangerous. AI could be dangerous. That's why they're scared of him. And I think the reason why they're afraid is that they will have no more control with the AI and they won't be able to control the narrative.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's likely the big concern here. Larry, I want to bring you in on this because you've been on the ground and I'm pretty sure when people saw the both of you, all three of you on the ground, they got a little nervous because they know you guys are going to expose the truth. Today is the final day. So what have you seen so far?
Yeah, it's been very interesting, Brianna. The WEFers, you know, have deposed Klaus Schwab. So his 55-year reign has come to an end. And I was really curious because I've been coming, you know, for several years now, and Jenica was interested in joining me this year. And I wondered, you know, what we would see. Would it be taking on a completely different tone now that Schwab was out of the way? There's new leadership in charge. What would be different? And it's business as usual.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it looks like that. You know, I want to get to this soundbite, Larry, and then get your reaction to it. Because in clip 18, President Trump, he had a message for European leaders, and this is really, really important, saying that Europe isn't recognizable anymore. Take a listen.
This afternoon, I want to discuss how we have achieved this economic miracle, how we intend to raise living standards for our citizens to levels never seen before, and perhaps how you too and the places where you come from can do much better by following what we're doing, because certain places in Europe are not even recognizable, frankly, anymore. They're not recognizable. And we can argue about it, but there's no argument. Friends come back from different places. I don't want to insult anybody and say I don't recognize it. And that's not in a positive way. That's in a very negative way. And I love Europe, and I want to see Europe go good. But it's not heading in the right direction. In recent decades, it became conventional wisdom in Washington and European capitals that the only way to grow a modern Western economy was through ever-increasing government spending, unchecked mass migration, and endless foreign imports. The consensus was that so-called dirty jobs and heavy industry should be sent elsewhere, that affordable energy should be replaced by the Green New Scam, and that countries could be propped up by importing new and entirely different populations from faraway lands. This was the path that sleepy Joe Biden administration and many other Western governments very foolishly followed.
All right. Obviously, this has a lot to do with the great replacement theory, as many people have, you know, we were told it was a conspiracy. But the reality of it is we've seen Europe change drastically. And I think a lot of people are concerned. Larry, what were your thoughts when you heard President Trump mention this?
Well, it's 100% accurate, and it may insult European leaders. They need to hear it because it's true. Listen, I've been coming to Europe very regularly, multiple times a year for decades now. I was partially educated in Europe, lived in Europe. From here, I will go to Krakow, I will be in Paris, I'll be in London, I'll be in Rome. Point is, I'm all over Europe for a very long time. And aspects of Europe are becoming unrecognizable. London has utterly changed from my student days, and I mean in a very negative way. People are referring to it as Londonistan, and there's a reason why they would do that. Parts of Paris where we have no-go zones. We're seeing these things all over Europe. And the two things that Trump was pointed to are, one, our mass migration, mass immigration, the importation of people of an alien culture. And the second is failed economic policies, which are cratering these beautiful cities in Europe.
Yeah, and this has always been a concern for most of us at this point, because we saw what was happening in Europe and we figured that the globalists were going to make this the future for the United States. And, you know, the last 4 years under the Biden administration, this was what was going on here. So I'm proud of the president for speaking up on that front. Jenica, I wanted to get your take on this. You know, Gavin Newsom's not a fan of censorship, which is quite shocking. But in clip 19, he thinks that the current administration was somehow censoring him, and he kind of alludes to that. Let's take a listen.
And what's happening across my country and what happened here in Davos. I was going to speak last night. It was a well-established event at the USA House, a simple conversation, discussion. After Trump's speech, they made sure that I didn't. They made sure it was canceled. And that's what's happening in the United States of America. Freedom of expression, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech. It's America in reverse. They're censoring historical facts. They're rewriting history. They're censoring books, 4,340 books, libraries, and in schools, banned in the United States of America. You're watching institutions. Any institution of independent thinking is under assault and attack by the Trump administration. You're seeing what's playing out in the streets of American cities, what played out in California, the second largest city in the United States of America. 4,000 National Guard were federalized. 700 active duty Marines were not sent overseas. They were sent to my largest city in the state of California. Masked men, guy Greg Bovino, dressed up. It's as if he literally went on eBay and purchased SS garb. Greg Bovino. Secret police, private army, masked men, people disappearing, quite literally, no due process, windows being smashed, seatbelts on, being, you know, literally just sort of cut off, people dragged in the streets, kids separated from families, knocking on doors, racially profiling American citizens. So is it surprising the Trump administration didn't like my commentary and wanted to make sure that I was not allowed to speak? No. It's consistent with this administration and their authoritarian tendencies. But forgive me. These are objective facts.
So Gavin Newsom doesn't like censorship suddenly. And I highly doubt that the WEF, and I'll let you kind of take us there, Jenica, but I doubt the WEF wanted to censor Newsom. And that's the reason why they canned whatever he was alluding to in that some speech that he was going to give. Jenica, you've done some incredible research into the censorship complex, the individuals who are behind the scenes trying to censor Americans. What do you make of Newsom's claims?
Well, Newsom's a little crazy. It's obvious. You just showed video from a speech at his WEF. So it's not censored, okay? Like, what's censored? You just showed a speech. So, but here's the thing. One thing that's important to remember, the surprising thing about the WEF is that there's very low policy there. Instead, it's people who are working on different levels to work above the levels of their country and their government and their elections. They want to ignore... They want to ignore actual people and individuals. They see the entire world as one thing. And that's the reason why Trump was threatening and warning countries and saying, hey, we have culture. People are there. People are not just data and numbers. People have their own motivations. They want security and they want to be people, not just data points.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the key point in all of this. Larry, I know this was a topic that you were also hot on when I sent over this clip. What do you make of Newsom's comments there?
Well, you know, I had to suppress profanity while that was playing because Newsom's a liar. Uh-huh. The irony is, of course, he's guilty of everything that he was just saying there. What did he say? Totalitarian tendencies? Of the Trump administration, who was it who told people they couldn't be on the beach during the COVID pandemic? Who was it who was shutting down churches? Who was it who wouldn't let kids go out and skateboard? Who was the person who was responsible, you know, for all of those kinds of things? Who is it also, you know, engaging in ballot harvesting and, you know, on and on? I mean, Gavin Newsom is a liar, but he's a habitual liar and he's very comfortable lying. That you sense that the man has no conscience whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah, you do sense that. And he is a liar. And, you know, I had to go back to try to find that bill that he pushed through in California. I'm sure you guys remember, but there was that bill where he wanted to censor medical professionals who maybe had a different interpretation on what was happening in regards to the COVID vaccines that were being pushed out there. So I think that was really interesting that he seems to have forgotten that. And due to his due to the legal challenges, they actually had to repeal that law because they were going to lose it. And that was a big one. I also want to turn to clip 21 next, because there seems to be this effort, and I'll let Jenica take this one next, because there seems to be this effort where those who were responsible for some of the most unethical pushes to mass vaccinate individuals, they're trying to rewrite history. And Justin Trudeau, who was obviously leading in Canada at the time, he's now claiming that he actually never forced these vaccines onto anyone. Let's take a listen.
Through the greatest public health crisis that we've faced in 100 years in this country, since the Spanish flu, my responsibility was to keep as many Canadians alive as possible. And all of the scientists and the medical experts and the researchers, not just in Canada, but around the world, understood that vaccination was going to be the way through this. And therefore, while not forcing anyone to get vaccinated, I chose to make sure that all the incentives and all the protections were there to encourage Canadians to get vaccinated. And that's exactly what they did. We got vaccinated to a higher level than just about any other of our peer countries. And that's why we had a less deadly pandemic than most other countries.
All right. So, Jenica, I mean, he's obviously trying to rewrite history. Natural immunity did a lot for places like Canada, and they don't want to give that credit. But there was this big push behind the scenes, and you've kind of detailed a lot of the propaganda that was spewed to mass vaccinate all across the country. Are you concerned, though, by these world leaders who are going to Davos now to try to rewrite history to make it look like they are on the right side of things?
That's a difficult question to answer, but it's a good question. I think it's important to try to get inside their mind. These are the people who have all the money and all the power and everything. If you think about it, we spend our own personal lives and we're only trying to impress each other. You know, our wife, our boss, whatever. We're just trying to make a good impression. But if you're already at the top, who are you trying to impress? You're trying to impress other people who are already at the top. And they're all trying to impress each other. But they really have no connection to the people at the bottom. They're so completely out of touch. So, of course, they will rewrite the story to make themselves look good because they can and they want to. But of course, I don't think they're consciously lying, though, to be honest with you. They're just humans trying to impress each other. And the way that they're doing it, they end up making real stupid decisions, even though they actually believe they're trying to do something right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's more of an optimistic take. I'll say that. So that's a good one, Jenica. Thank you on that. I want to actually talk, too, before we run out of time, about President Trump's push to pressure Europe to allow him some control over Greenland. Let's listen in on clip 20.
So we want a piece of ice for world protection, and they won't give it. We've never asked for anything else, and we could have kept that piece of land, and we didn't. So they have a choice. You can say yes, and we will be very appreciative. or you can say no, and we will remember.
We will remember. Larry, I mean, I'm laughing over here because it's a real threat. I don't think he's trying to be dramatic. What do you think the reaction, though, of those European leaders was when they heard President Trump make those comments on the stage yesterday?
Well, they've been lying for some time about what Trump's intentions are. And, you know, this show of sending soldiers to Greenland and, you know, we're going to send battleships and, you know, members of the military and all this, all trying to make Trump look like he's, you know, on some sort of global conquest tour. And obviously that was never in view here. Trump is a businessman. That people need to bear that in mind. And what Trump was saying here is, look, we have been sending trillions of dollars to NATO and getting nothing in return. Indeed, we're not even sure you guys share our values anymore. But this much we want. We want Greenland. And you can give it to us and we'll be grateful. Or the next time you're in trouble, say, with Russia, and you're expecting us to fund a war against Russia or to assist you, we're going to remember that you didn't give us what we wanted. And, you know, all of this, Brianna, is very important because the singular thread that ran through Trump's entire speech, it wasn't NATO, it wasn't Greenland, it wasn't economics, it wasn't windmills. What Trump's singular theme was, improving the lives of Americans. And Greenland is important to America because of protection. You know, ICBMs, you know, coming from Russia or China into the United States, that's why Greenland matters. And NATO matters because he doesn't want to burden the American taxpayer. And the environment, mental initiatives matter because he thinks they're a complete waste of time. So all of this had to do with what's best for the American people. And I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was great. It was a great message to make sure he broadcasts on that stage. So I'm all on board. Larry Taunton, thank you for joining us, as well as Jenica Pounds and her interpreter. Words are so complicated on this Thursday morning for me today. But thank you all three. You guys are doing an incredible job on the ground in Davos. And we look forward to following you on your last day there. Don't party too much, though. I did see a video, and I hear you guys really like to party down there in Switzerland. So, all right, party, enjoy while you can. Thank you guys for joining me.
Thank you, Brianna.
Thank you, guys. Folks, we are keeping our eye right now, and I wanted to bring you straight there because it looked like things are getting quite heated in the Jack Smith testimony that's going on right now on the Hill. Let's take a listen.
I don't recall, but those two things had nothing to do with
it. It was 16 days after becoming the highest ranking Republican in the House of Representatives. You subpoenaed his toll records. Do you agree that that might reasonably be considered a violation of the speech or debate clause?
I do not, and I want to be clear that the toll records...
You were collecting months worth of phone data on the Republican Speaker of the House, the leader of the opposition, right after he got sworn in as Speaker, all around the time of a major vote. That sounds like a flagrant violation of the speech or debate clause to me, and I think most people agree with me. And Speaker McCarthy had no recourse, did he? Because you issued a non-disclosure order ensuring that neither he nor any of the American people knew about these subpoenas. Is that right?
The toll record, the non-content toll record subpoenas, we did secure non-disclosure orders for those subpoenas.
You did. And let me ask you, Mr. Smith, at the time you secured those non-disclosure orders, was Speaker McCarthy a flight risk?
The non-disclosure order was based on concerns about...
Was Speaker McCarthy a flight risk?
He was not.
He was not. Then why did your non-disclosure order refer to him as a flight risk? It says right here, the court finds reasonable grounds to believe that such disclosure will result in flight from prosecution.
Sir, when securing a non-disclosure order, the risks don't have to be associated...
You think that the Speaker of the House is a flight risk?
Can you finish answering the question?
No, this is not your time. This is my time. You think the Speaker of the House is a flight risk? You think he's going to hop on a plane and leave the country?
No. What I was trying to explain is, with respect to a non-disclosure order, the risks aren't necessarily associated with the subscriber to the phone. They're the risks to the investigation.
I think that you were using, this was clearly in reference to Speaker McCarthy, and you were using clearly false information to secure a non-disclosure order to hide from Speaker McCarthy and from the American people the fact that you were spying on his toll records. But I've got more, so let's move on. In May of 2023, you also issued subpoenas for toll records of 9 U.S. senators and an additional representative. Is that right?
In May of 23, we did issue...
You did, and there were non-disclosure orders in conjunction with those subpoenas as well, right?
That's correct, consistent with department policy and
right.
The law.
So again, nobody would know what you were doing. The senators would, and the representatives would, and the American people wouldn't know what you were doing. Is that right?
The toll records that we secured and the non-disclosure orders were consistent with policy and consistent...
And you knew whenever you were doing that that there was a risk you were violating the speech or debate clause. Is that right?
The toll record subpoenas that we secured were with the concurrence of the public integrity.
Your own analysis says that you knew there was a risk you were violating the speech or debate clause. I have it right here. This is an email from John Keller at Public Integrity Section to your team. As you are aware, quote, as you are aware, there is some litigation risk regarding whether compelled disclosure of toll records of a member's legislative calls violates the speech or debate clause in the D.C. Circuit. That's from your own analysis right there. So you did know, didn't you?
Sir, with respect to the item you just put up on the screen, the last sentence states...
We're going to get to the last sentence.
Okay.
We're going to get to the last sentence. And you cite case law in here, quote, the bar on compelled disclosure is absolute. Is that right? Or do you think that you didn't have to abide by that precedent?
To be clear, this statement is not from my office. This is the statement
of
the public.
This is your justification for those subpoenas and NDOs that you ordered. This was part of your analysis. It's a cursory analysis. I think it's worth noting. But let's get to that last sentence then. Quote, given my understanding of the low likelihood that any of the members listed below would be charged, the litigation risk should be minimal here. In other words, you're using a novel legal theory, which you knew was novel, has never been tested by any court. You're not charging any of these members. Nobody's going to know about it because you issued NDOs. Nobody's going to sue about it, so who cares? We're going to do it anyways. I mean, you walked all over the Constitution throughout this entire process.
Mr. Chairman, the gentleman's time is
expired. Spying on members of Congress, and you know it. It's absolutely disgraceful.
The time.
I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Not going to be charged. They're not going to see it. They're not going to know because we're not going to tell them. So let's go ahead and do it. It's exactly what happened. The gentleman from Tennessee.
That's exactly what happened, and they did their best. And will they ever be held accountable? Probably not going to happen. I'd rather be a little realist rather than telling you all dreams. Well, that does it for the American Journal this morning. Working on a big show tomorrow, so make sure you're here. In the meantime, though, the Alex Jones Show starts next. Don't go anywhere. More to expose next.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former J6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on Paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting to ever get him to take it on air. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great to fog lifting to just over the top crying. It feels so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr.'s loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended, I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now, but guys, don't forget when he's on Owen, to maybe if he forgets before he's going to go off, to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. That means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes. It starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're going to be on Owen. So please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike.
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to go.
I think it's about the Wayne Blue.